Are you ready to rock?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
Welcome to a special perk episode just for you, the people who got your tickets early to the Rockin' Pod 2018, for the people who love better podcasts wherever they are downloaded. I'm Ken Mills. I'm the host of Zilch, the Podkiss, guests often on the Kiss Room. We've also got Cheap Talk and my newest baby, Pop. And you've heard the Fun Size Podcast as well. Today, a frustrated disc jockey like myself, we welcome Ian Wadley.
Hello. Hello, good sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing groovy. How about you?
Not too bad. Herpes isn't flaring up. It's a beautiful day outside. Not too shabby.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
There you go.
You are known as the Ayatollah of Alcohola.
That is true, and I'm living up to it today because I had to record early this morning with Ralph, so I am very inebriated, but ready to go.
Well, that's good. And you're one hell of a masseuse or massage therapist.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Well, your shoulders make it easy. They're just so rubbable.
They definitely are rubbable shoulders. Today on the Are You Ready to Rock show, just for the Rockin' Potters, we're going to talk about hair metal. Whether you love it or hate it, you can't ignore it, right?
I agree.
Much like your herpes.
That's right. Well, once a month, you can't ignore it. Other than that, you know, you can hide it with makeup.
Yeah, Blistex and a little flesh-colored makeup, you're good.
Good to go.
So what are your overall thoughts on hair metal, Ian?
Well, this is something Ralph and I have fought over. I mean, we've had some nasty drag-out arguments over this. And I'm a firm believer that there are two types of what most people would call hair metal.
Mm-hmm.
And I divide it into cock rock and hair metal. Hair metal, I would say, is something that has nothing to do with metal, but has the look because of the time. Like, okay, we got to dress up like this because we want to fit in with that. That is hair metal to me. Mm-hmm. And by that, I would mean Bon Jovi, Poison, Warrant, Nelson. There is nothing metal about them whatsoever, but they had that look. They had the long hair, they had the leathers and stuff like that. And then to me, there is cock rock, which to me, I mean, I would consider like Kiss and Van Halen the godfathers of cock rock. Mm-hmm. Now, that is something that is definitely, you know, and I would have put, you know, Motley Crue, Rat, Dokken, a lot of those bands in with the cock rock. And what cock rock is to me is, you know, it's not quite metal. It's not Judas Priest. It's not Black Sabbath, but it's definitely heavier guitars, but it's more about the subject matter. You know, mm-hmm. It's not about Satan. It's not about this. It's about fucking. It's all shit that comes from down below. It's cock rock. It's like, I like you. I'm going to fuck you, you know, a hot chick, you know, and all this stuff. It's more about subject matter that's harder rock. But to me, hair metal is something that just doesn't belong at the party, but they're playing the part. You know, it's kind of like, you know, hair metal would be Tommy Thayer. It's not really Ace Frehley, but it's dressed up like Ace Frehley. You know, so that's my little analogy there. So I've already pissed off everybody. But that's not to say that I don't like some hair metal, because there is some hair metal that I like. Mm-hmm. But to me, hair metal was more about the look than the sound.
But when you think about it, isn't that always the way with every musical movement or every trend?
Well, yeah, there's always, you know, there's trendsetters, and then there's a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think by the time it got to hair metal, it was really watered down. Like, you know, when I first came into metal and hard rock in 86, there was already bands that were lightening their sound, But then the bands that would copy those bands would get even lighter and lighter and lighter. And there's always, you know, the same thing happened with grunge. You know, I believe there were some true innovators and some great bands. And then next thing you know, you got shit like Bush and Creed that I don't think really had the heart and the soul of the bands that laid the foreground, but they had the look, you know. They kind of did a textbook copy of, okay, I don't know what we're singing about, but it can't be positive.
Right.
You know, it's got to be sad.
Well, it's kind of like you had Pearl Jam, and it was okay to sound like a sad pirate, right? I mean, that's pretty much Pearl Jam. And then that led to Creed. It was basically the same kind of voice.
It gets trickled down, you know. But yeah.
Which means gets pissed on.
Yeah. But, Ralph and I really disagree on this because he gets mad because he considers cock rock and hair metal the same thing.
It can be. That's the problem, right? It's kind of like when you go to Taco Bell, right?
Right.
Every time I go to Taco Bell, I pull up and I'm lost. Every time I go to Taco Bell, I get lost. You would think you would know, okay, I want a number 5 or a number 2, whatever you're used to getting, right?
Yeah.
But they change the menu all the damn time, and it's the same damn thing. And everything that's on the Taco Bell menu is the same thing, just whipped around, right? It's a tortilla deep fried in chicken, deep fried in cheese, deep fried in, you know, it's all the same shit, right? But it's still Taco Bell.
Right, but I don't know. For the last, 20 years, every time I go to Taco Bell, I get the same thing, 6 double-decker tacos. You know, they might call it something else, but I get 6 double-decker tacos, you know?
And diarrhea, so.
Yeah, but I got that anyway from the beer. Like, I haven't had a solid BM since 1978, you know? It's just...
Goals, folks. You can be like Ian.
Yes. Shitting doesn't have to be hard. It can be very easy. Just eat bad food and drink a lot.
And I'm going to shock everyone. I'm not going to play any Kiss today.
Oh, look at you.
I'm going to be a big boy now.
Oh, you're ventured out. What about Cheap Trick or Monkees? Is there any Cheap Trick or Monkees?
Nope.
Holy shit.
No.
I didn't know you listened to anything else.
Yeah. This is basic. What we're aiming at today is what we're calling hair metal, or bands that were confused with hair metal. How about that?
Right. Well, that's what I did, because initially, you know, I had to double check the message you sent me, and you said hair metal, and I was like, okay, well, let me think of, you know, and you said songs that stand the test of time. So I'm looking, and I was like, okay, well, he did say hair metal. So I'm looking, and I'm trying to find what I consider hair metal, 5 songs that stand the test of time. And I couldn't do it. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to pick 5 cock rock, what I consider cock rock.
Well, that works.
You know, it could all be in my head, you know, but some people like Ralph, they lump it all together. So fuck it. I'm going to call it cock rock. I'm going to put like an Eddie Trunk. Don't call it Hair Nation. It's Trunk Nation. Whatever. I'm calling it cock rock, you know, but I did pick 5 songs I do believe stand the test of time. And I'm sure you brought yours, and let's have fun.
All right, here we go. Well, we're going to kick this off with 2 bands who were influenced by the greats from the 70s. You got Alice Cooper and Kiss, right? And the first band up, if there's going to be a Godfathers of hair metal, it's got to be Poison, right? I mean, they kind of, it was named after them for all intents and purposes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, pretty bad. I think Poison started it, but, you know, I mean, Bon Jovi started it, but Poison gave you something you could masturbate to because they look like chicks.
Hot. And, of course, between Poison and Motley Crue, you pretty much know why the ozone layer was depleted. So,
bad hair and bad music.
Mm-hmm. So here we are with Poison with Talk Dirty to Me, followed by Dangerous Toys with Scared.
Yeah.
You know what, River? I never seen you look so good. You never act the way you should. But I like. This baby will be.
that song, Scared, tell the folks what it's all about.
Well, it's pretty much lead singer Jason McMaster, basically a tribute to Alice Cooper and his love of Alice Cooper and how it intrigued him and scared him. And, you know, interesting thing with Dangerous Toys, Jason McMaster, lead singer, was in a thrash metal band in Texas called Watchtower that had a great, you know, hometown reputation. Like, they thought this band was going to really take off. And then, lo and behold, you know, money called, and he joined Dangerous Toys, and a lot of people turned their backs on, like, oh, fuck no, this is, you know, cock rock, this is hair metal. But I think Dangerous Toys put out an incredible debut album. I think really stands the test of time. I love every track on it. I don't think it's poser fucking metal. I think it's honest, like, really good, hard, dirty rock and roll from Texas. And Scared is just a classic to me, and I love that he's showing his influences and paying tribute to somebody I believe deserves tribute, you know, the great Alice Cooper.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think the song does totally stand the test of time.
Now, we were talking about, like, if Poison started hair metal, Nirvana finished it, right? I mean, that's one way to look at it.
Oh, yeah.
But really what killed hair metal as a force to me was the fact that there was more ballads than there were the hard songs, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it killed itself. And that ballad shit all started with Home Sweet Home. Because before then, you would hear a ballad if it was written out of necessity. You know, if it was something that, a band felt.
Like a Beth or a Dream On.
Beth? Okay, no. A ballad written out of necessity. But you know what I mean? It was like, it came around if it felt right. You know, like I would say a Dream On. I would say like a Home Tonight. The least said about Beth, the better. But you know what I mean? If it was something that the band really felt. But after Home Sweet Home, it was the obligatory ballad. You had to have it. You released the hard rocker. And then after that, it was the fucking ballad. But it wasn't heartfelt. It wasn't something, you know, that came out of necessity. It's obligatory. You have to have the song for the fucking chicks. Yeah. And that's the death knell for all these bands. Because once you start playing to the chicks, you're fucked. Because women are very, they like what they like while you're cute, and then they grow up and they pass on and they go to something else. Where guys are loyal. Guys are your bread and butter. Once you get a guy's heart, he'll stick with you. He'll keep buying your albums even after they get shitty. Like, only guys bought the Elder. You know, no women bought the fucking Elder.
How dare you, sir.
But I'm just saying, if you want loyalty, you go after the guys. If you want the quick buck, you go after the chicks. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of these bands did. They went after the chicks. And, you know, I thought it was so funny. I saw this thing on MTV when they were talking to this chick who was like a hardcore New Kids on the Block fan. And they had interviewed her like in 1989. And she was like, you know, the world's biggest New Kids on the Block fan. Mm-hmm. And then they went back and revisited her when New Kids on the Block put out an album in 1994. Like way after their peak, you know. Grunge is taking over. Music has totally changed. And then New Kids come out. And now they call themselves NKOTB and all this shit to try to seem edgy and stuff like that. And she's like, no. I don't listen to that stuff anymore. I listen to Alice in Chains.
See, you and I are still loyal. That's why we're going to go see Backstreet Boys in Vegas at the residency.
Yeah. No, fuck that. I'm old school. I'm going to see Leif Garrett at the fucking casino near me. Because I was made for dancing.
You know, I could, with those hips, I could tell.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't forget the 45 that I bought in 1979.
That's right. Why would you?
You know, they catered to a different audience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're chasing after the quick money. But, you know, if you stay true and loyal, people will stick with you. And if you go for the quick buck and the easy way out, you have a shelf life. And that's what I think killed metal. A lot of people blame it on fucking Nirvana and all this shit. But it really killed itself because it kept getting lighter and lighter and lighter where, you know, you couldn't tell the difference between a fucking so-called metal band and fucking Toto. You know, it was the same shit. Mm-hmm. You know, it was, soft, ballady, you know, stuff your mom won't get mad at when she listens to it on the way to drop you off at the mall. That's when you run out of luck, you know.
Yeah. Well, let's pick another WKIP twin spin. I'm going to throw up Cinderella Shake Me. That's a great song. Which one are you going to pick?
I'm going to pick L.A. Guns Sex Action off their debut album.
All right. Isn't that what we wrote in your Mother's Day card?
Yes.
Excellent.
Sex Action. All right.
So here's Cinderella and L.A. Guns.
Yeah.
Now, Cinderella is one of those bands that I feel, for right or wrong, I think they were better than hair metal.
Oh, definitely.
And by that I mean, at this point, the record company's saying, you've got to have this look, you've got to have this marketing, or you're not going to make it. And right or wrong, that was probably the truth, right?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. I mean, Cinderella, I would consider them, you know, like a sister band, if you would, to them, would be, or I should say a brother band to make it seem masculine, would be Tesla.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. The only difference is Tesla didn't have to wear their hair stacked 5 feet above their head and wear.
Right.
Yeah.
Tesla came out dressed like men. Mm-hmm. You know, but they're both blue collar rock and roll. It's hard rock. It's not fucking metal. Mm-hmm. But it's hard rock. And Cinderella would try to distance themselves, you know, with their future albums. But, I mean, pretty much when you call your band Cinderella, you're already fucked. You know, because can you get a more girly name? You know, you should have called it fucking Strawberry Shortcake. But
which was oddly enough what we were going to call our band.
Right. But the music stands up. And I'm glad that you picked this, because this is one of two albums that were so influential in, to me, getting into hard rock and heavy metal. Before that, I had, you know, stuff like everybody had that was just part of pop culture. Mm-hmm. Like, your Quiet Riot, you know, your Pyromania, 1984. Everybody bought those albums. It didn't matter if you were into hard rock or metal. That's something you just had. But when I heard Cinderella's Night Songs, I was like, oh, shit. You know, like, this is the music for me. And I didn't give a fuck about the looks, you know. I thought they looked cool. I thought they looked like rock stars. I mean, I was 12. I didn't think it looked girly or feminine. I was just like, that's neat. You can't buy that.
It just looked cool.
Yeah. You can't buy that shit at the Chess King.
Right.
You know, that. I mean, that's some cool shit. And they're playing great music. And I was just like, wow, I don't know anybody who looks like that. They look like rock stars. I was just enthralled with it.
Though I'm older than you, once you have David Bowie, Alice Cooper, Kiss as your, you know, already on the everything else, what does it matter what it is anymore? You know what I'm saying?
Right. And it's entertaining. You look like rock stars. I like rock stars.
Me too.
You know, there's... You know, and that's the whole thing with, you know, with a band like Kiss, you know, as you know, a young boy who got into Kiss, they were superheroes. They were larger than life. They didn't look like everybody else. I liked Huey Lewis and the News at the same fucking time.
But they looked like someone that your dad would hang out.
Right. Kiss looked like fucking rock stars. You know, they looked like superheroes. It was incredible. It was an incredible time, and I love that about the 80s. And even though the 90s put out some decent music, I miss the larger than life rock star. You know, I don't want to see Mick Jagger look like fucking the guy who does my taxes. I want him to look like Mick. I want him to wear something I couldn't wear. You know, I want a rock star.
That's why David Lee Roth is perfection.
Yes.
And of course, America's most beloved game show host.
All in one.
Yeah, Cinderella, really, their roots seem to lie in AC/DC and more rhythm and blues rock than it is glam, if you will.
Right, but, you know, they went with the times, and I gotta tell you, I think they look great in those videos. I think they look like rock stars. I've got no problems with that era of the look. I'm about the music.
You know who really likes Cinderella, though?
Who's that?
I would imagine the people that replace ceilings. Because they did that guitar spinning trick.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder how many teenagers across America or guys in bar bands thinking, I'm going to try that shit. And they didn't put, like, strap locks on. Fucking guitar stuck in the ceiling.
Is that a joke, or are you being serious?
Well, it's kind of a joke, but I mean, think about that, right?
Well, no, I'm saying because I did that, and I've talked about it on the show. I don't know if you've heard that.
Oh, no, I missed that one.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I know you only listen to ones you're on. But, no, I actually did that. I was in my basement You know, I switched over from drums at like 13. I was like, okay, or 12. I was like, I'm going to play guitar now. And I would sit there in front of my TV and you know, watch Jeff LaBar. And in my grandparents' basement, they had a tongue and groove, like, you know, like hard tile ceiling. Uh-huh. And I'm sitting there, and I can't play for shit, but I'm just hitting it. And then I was like, man, I'm going to slide around like Jeff LaBar. And I slid around, and the neck of the guitar went, like, right in the, like, I was thin at the time. It lifted my ass up. I'm, like, being held up. I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh, Grandpa's going to kill me, you know. Plus, it knocked the guitar into it. Yeah, I'm totally trying to be cool and just fucked it up, man. But God damn it, Jeff LaBar pulled it off. I thought I could. That's a true fucking story.
What they used to say, don't try this at home, kids.
Yeah, yeah, don't try it in Grandpa's basement either, because he's going to get pissed when you fuck up the ceiling.
The rec room will never be the same.
Oh, yeah, it's tongue and groove. You know how many tiles I had to take out to fix that shit? Oh, man.
And the other song was L.A. Guns. Why'd you pick that?
Sex Action, man. It was dirty fucking rock and roll. You know, and back in 87, a lot of bands were considered the same. They were all together, you know, and now you look, you know, and like Guns N' Roses is held all the way up here. And, you know, L.A. Guns is like, oh, they're down here. But back then they were all the same. In fact, you know, the L.A. Guns and Hollywood Rose, that's how they got the name, but all that shit. But L.A. Guns' debut album, man, is just the same as Appetite, man. It's street level, dirty rock and roll, and stands the test of time. Great singing, great guitar playing. And it is total cock rock because it's from below the belt. There's no heavy thinking here. There's no Dylan-esque lyrics. Man, it's all about fucking sex action. But what could be more appealing, you know, to a 12, 13-year-old boy than songs about getting laid? That's what I loved about this type of music at that age. It was pure escapism and fantasy. And not only like, you know, bands that are into that were wrote fantasy lyrics, you know, like, you know, Black Sabbath is all, you know, doom, and Dio was Dungeons and Dragons, and Iron Maiden was a history lesson. But then you had shit like LA Guns that just like, it's about getting laid. And that sounded pretty goddamn good at 12 years old, man. It's like, I don't just want my fingers to stink. You know, yeah, I want everything to stink, you know, and it spoke to me, and it was fun, it was dirty, it was primal rock and roll, and that's what I like. I mean, that's the shit that keeps me young, you know. I may have the liver of a 70-year-old man, but I have the brain of a 15-year-old.
Well, damn it, you've earned it.
Yeah, who wants to get laid, and I love that's shit right. like L.A. Guns and Sex Action.
Well,
that's
there
some good
for a
shit.
While there, you know, before Guns N' Roses became Guns N' Roses, right? I mean, their album came out, and at the same time, you had L.A. Guns, and you had Faster Pussycats, and it was just they all seemed interchangeable to me at the time.
Oh, yeah, and to me, I mean, interchangeable, but because I liked them all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems in hindsight, you know.
Which I love hindsight. You and I both love hindsight.
Yeah, I like looking at asses, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, Guns N' Roses now has all this respect, but they have the respect because of the sales. You know, like, oh, now they're, you know, they're so much greater than they actually. But to me, Guns N' Roses is no better than Great White, L.A. Guns, Doc, and any of that shit. I mean, really, I look at Guns N' Roses like, hey, they've got one great album and some half-ass ones, too. But I always judge them by that. Like, that's all they are to me. So when they fill stadiums and people are like, oh, I'll go see them with just two members or three members. I was like, fuck it. You know, I'll pay, you know, 3/4 of the price, you know, to see Great White with one member or two members, because it's all the same to me. Right. It's just great rock and roll. But I don't know. Now they're like fucking, you know, the Stones. Bullshit.
Right.
You know, it's just average fucking garage band guitar rock, you know.
Yep. Well, remember when they'd have those special wrestling matches, they'd say, no holes barred. I think mm-hmm. that was the saying, right?
Yeah, Ralph's mom has the same tattoo.
Hot.
I know what you meant.
Yeah. No holes barred. Yeah. Which I'm surprised that wasn't an adult film.
I think it was, and I think I forgot to rewind it and had to pay a dollar extra.
Yeah, there you go. Now, a lot of bands were fighting hard to get back into things, and we talk about the where this all kind of came from, and some of that was Kiss, and Kiss was working on fitting in into what was now hair metal, right? And they put out albums like Animal Eyes and Asylum.
Oh, definitely.
And the track you have for us, Tears Are Falling.
Yeah, oh, perfect example. Well, I think, to me, Kiss quit being Kiss after fucking Love Gun Alive 2. And after that, everything was a desperate plea to whatever's popular. And I believe Alice Cooper did the same thing. You know, once he mm-hmm. went solo, these bands have a certain sound that got them where they are. And then they get, you know, up to Mount Olympus, and they want to stay there. Well, what's the new trend, you know? And they kept following that. Rod Stewart's got a disco song. Stone's got a disco song. Okay, Kiss got Dynasty, you know. Band's mm-hmm. going lighter. Okay, we got a Mass, you know. Oh, Pink Floyd's got a hit with a concept album, you know. We're going to do The Elder, you know. And then, now metal's hip. Okay, we're going to be a metal band now. And to me, Kiss was never a metal band. But, Pure Kiss, I think, is the first album through Love Gun. And then it's always Chase the Fucking Trends. Chase the Fucking Trends. And this is a prime example. But I didn't know any better because, really, the first, besides some shit I heard on the radio and throwing a temper tantrum because I wanted the Kiss dolls when I was a little kid,
mm-hmm.
the first time I ever really listened, I saw the video for Tears Are Falling. And it just changed my fucking life. Not only did I think it was one of the best songs I ever heard, I thought they looked amazing. And they take a lot of shit for the Asylum look, man. They take a lot of shit. You know, and I'm like, really? Everybody picks on this? Has anybody ever seen the Dynasty fucking costumes? Or the fucking Unmasked costumes? I mean, there's that famous story about Brian May and Freddie Mercury going to see the Dynasty tour. And Freddie Mercury said to Brian May, he's like, darling, do I look that gay? You know, I mean, that shit was fucking horrible. The fucking capes. The fucking capes. That is the worst Kiss look ever. The fucking capes. I'm sorry. That is the most horror. You could call Asylum, you know, fucking, you know, Blanche Devereaux, fucking Golden Girls, all you want. Devereaux. Dude, that shit was horrendous. That was some Liza Minnelli shit. Oh my God, was that so bad. But I love the Asylum outfits. It was the fucking 80s, man. It was, everything was like, you know, the neon colors, you know, the hyper colors. You touch the shirt, change the colors. Everybody's got a neon swatch watch and shit like that. And Kiss fit in perfect with that and wrote a song that I think is one of their best. It's so awesome. And surprisingly, it was inspired by the Eurythmics. Paul Stanley said he was listening to Eurythmics when he wrote Tears Are Falling. But I saw it. And it changed my fucking life. I was like, holy shit. And soon after that, I saw Cinderella's Nobody's Fool. And those two songs are the ones that made me a hard rock and heavy metal fan. That's when I was like, okay, this is what speaks to me. This is my music. You know, my father raised me on classic rock and 70s hard rock and heavy metal. My mother, I got all, you know, the Christopher Cross, the Rick Springfield, the Monkees, you know, all the pop sensibilities. But this was my music, you know. And I just fell in love, and it changed my fucking life. So, you know, Tears Are Falling is probably one of the most important songs in my life. I mean, seriously. And from that point on, hard rock and heavy metal has been my favorite genre of music, even though I listen to a much wider scope. Tears Are Falling made me who I am, for better or for worse. And I absolutely love it.
Thanks, Gene and Paul.
No problem, Ken.
The rehab bill will be in the mail.
I can't help it.
that was Kiss off of Asylum with Tears Are Falling, and Dawkin off of their album Tooth and Nail with Just Got Lucky. What do you think of that song, Ian?
Oh, I fucking love it, dude. I love Dawkin. Dawkin's fucking awesome, man. That's some great shit right there.
So you were rocking with Dawkin back in the day.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. I mean, that was one of those things. You know, the great thing is around this time, you still had something that was called Columbia Record House.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. And I ruined the credit of every family member I knew. Like, I'd write in all their names, and I would get all, you know, 11 cassettes for one penny. And I would never pay this shit. And, oh, the joy. When you would get that package, because it would be this long package with 11 cassettes.
And I know you like long packages.
Yeah, not as much as your mother, but damn close. But no, I mean, seriously, I remember, man, when that shit would come in the mail and it was all this, you know, it was, Spingbay Malmsteen and, you know, Aerosmith and Dokken and, you know, Quiet Riot, all this shit, you know, just like, it was like a drug. When I discovered hard rock, man, I just couldn't get enough. And going to the stores, waiting for the new issue of Hit Parade or Circus Magazine, you know, shit like that. Because there was no fucking internet, you know. And God, I remember this one issue of Hit Parade had a mini Kiss calendar. And I loved it because it had the release date of every Kiss. And that's how I knew what Kiss albums were available. It was from this calendar. Mm-hmm. And I would highlight it, you know, once I got every album. And I remember being mad, you know, because I couldn't find this album called The Elder. And then when I found it, I got even madder because I bought it, you know.
I love that album.
Oh, of course you do.
Of course I do.
But, yeah, I mean, that was the thing. There was no Wikipedia. There was no all this. I mean, you really had to work for this shit if you wanted to find out, you know. And fuck MTV, I could only get on the weekends when I'd go to my grandparents' house.
Right. You know? And believe me, there's nothing more that your grandparents loved than watching you watch Headbangers Ball.
Oh, well, they're like, go down the fucking basement. Go watch that shit, you know. You know, they were fine with that. They're like, just don't throw another fucking guitar in the ceiling, you dipshit.
Dipshit.
No, they were magical times, man. And
they were.
You know, I just couldn't get enough. And I like that you had to work harder back then because you had to be dedicated.
It meant something more.
Yeah, kids today now are so fucking candy ass. They have fucking everything handed to them. They can go on YouTube and all that shit, man.
They just don't care about music. You know, Gene Simmons gets a lot of shit where he says rock is dead. And I think it is. And, you know, I have to wonder how much of that is because we won't let it go. You know what I'm saying? That the older generations won't let it go. Like, all their parents still love hard rock and heavy metal or rock. You know what I'm saying? And it used to be act your age, and now we're still acting like teenagers, and I refuse to stop.
Well, you know, there's nothing dangerous anymore. That's another bad thing is we're so desensitized. You know, the music we listened to back then was dangerous. Now, you know what's dangerous is rap. It's not hard rock.
Right.
You know, rap is talking to the kids.
Yeah.
You know, because that happened with grunge. You know, grunge became a whole, like, self-pity party. Hard rock used to be about, like, talking about, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get this chick. I'm going to fuck her all night. You know, I'm going to do all this shit. I'm going to party. I'm going to have fun. And then it became like, you know, daddy won't play football with me.
Right.
And kids tuned out because teenage kids want to hear about getting laid. They want to hear, you know, I have power. I want to hear all this shit. And rock and roll became a pity party. But as far as, you know, like reaching kids and giving them something to aspire to, that's where grunge failed them. But rap didn't because rap sang about partying and doing all this shit, you know, and music is disposable to kids these days. I work with some younger people, and they're just not into music the way I was. It's more background noise. It's not a lifestyle thing. No, they just want to hear what's on the radio, what's on different with us, man. It was a lifestyle. It was a movement. It was a way of life. It was rebellion. You just don't have that anymore.
Right. Now, here's a band I really didn't care for.
Uh-oh.
just didn't like them. And one of the things I really hated about them was their lead singer. And it's not that he couldn't sing. I just didn't like the way he looks.
Tell me what unhandsome boy broke your heart.
Well, it wasn't about breaking my heart. It's just the guy just really bothered me. I don't know why. But the band is called Crocus.
Oh, oh yeah, Crocus. Yeah. Oh, my God. Does he not look like some guy that should be working at a Jewish deli?
Or one of those Greek delicatessens, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You want chips with that?
He can be Greek, too, but he's got the Jufro. He's got the hairy chest. And he's just missing like a really big gold chain.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Not a good look.
And then he'd wear red leather all the time, which is really weird.
Oh.
And they also covered Alice Cooper's "School's Out," which was just horrible. And for some reason, I know that there's a lot of people that love Crocus. And if you love Crocus, you know, love what you love. I'm not knocking what you dig. I'm just telling you, I don't dig it too much. But on the other hand, the single I'm going to play next is one of my favorite songs of that 80s decade, right? This is "Screaming in the Night." It's one of my favorites.
Oh, love it.
What do you want to play with this?
Wasp, "Sleeping in the Fire."
All right. Well, here we are. Crocus, "Screaming in the Night," and Wasp, "Sleeping in the Fire."
Thank you.
Fuck, I love Screaming in the Night, man. That, you want to talk about a high point for Crocus. They actually have one. It's called Screaming in the Night. I'm not a huge Crocus fan. We've done a couple Crocus reviews, and they're definitely like a, there's A bands and B bands, C bands. You know, they're like an LMNOP band. But Screaming in the Night is fucking awesome. I mean, that is just a fucking classic metal song. And again, it's kind of a quasi-ballad, but it was pre-Home Sweet Home. So this was just something they felt. You know, it wasn't like, oh, this is what we have to do. This is going to be the one that secures it. It came from an honest place. And I think that's why it works, man. That's why it stands the test of time, man. That is just a fucking phenomenal song for me. Yeah, they're not a phenomenal band, but that is a phenomenal song.
Yeah, that song is undeniable.
Oh, yeah.
And you picked?
Wasp, Sleeping in the Fire.
Yeah.
Which, again, is a, it's a ballad. It's a brooding song. And it's pre-Home Sweet Home. This was, it wasn't calculated. It was like, okay, I got this in me. I'm going to get it out. And it is one of the best Wasp songs of all time. And, our good friend Chris Sinzak and Eric Camaro just did an episode where they did, top five Wasp songs. And Chris picked this horrible fucking song from the Crimson Idol called Hold On To My Heart.
I love that song. I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, it is the most convoluted fucking, okay, we need that one song that's going to back up. Because I know the rest of this shit sounds like a really bad Who album. And we need that one song that the girls are going to like. But I mean, it just sounds...
And Ken Mills. Yeah.
And Ken Mills, because he likes lingerie too.
Well, I do.
Yeah, who doesn't? It's just one of those, it's out of necessity. We're sleeping in the fire is just like, that came from him, man. That was something he just wrote. Where Hold On To Your Heart is like, oh, fuck, I gotta have a ballad. And I can hear it every fucking time. I can hear when it's like Aerosmith. A song like Dream On, that's out of necessity. Home Tonight, out of necessity.
But then Grace, something like Angel, what they're going for.
Angel, that fucking crap from Armageddon, that's like, it's a ballad. That ain't out of necessity. The only thing that's out of necessity for is to pay your fucking mortgage.
And to get soccer moms to show up.
Yeah, yeah. It's not from your fucking heart, man. It's from your fucking wallet. Mm-hmm. And I can smell it every fucking time, dude.
Well, I almost picked Hold On To My Heart. I always felt that was Blackie's attempt to write a Paul McCartney song or something.
Oh, what a horrible thing to say about Paul McCartney. Jesus, hey. What Paul McCartney ever did? Paul McCartney wrote Maybe I'm Amazed. Jesus
That's a
Christ.
Great song. That's a great
song.
Yeah,
yeah. And you're going to compare Hold On To My Heart to that shit?
I am probably the biggest Beatle fan you'll ever meet, pound for pound. And that's...
Yeah, that's why I'm really shocked you would say such a horrible thing about Paul McCartney.
Nah, I love Paul McCartney. I love that song, too.
So my God. That's like comparing fucking Let It Be to Spies Are Us. Jesus Christ. God damn.
But I love that song too. What a goofy ass track.
I do too, I gotta lie.
Isn't it weird? It's like you'll always throw it on a compilation or if you're loading up your MP3 or something.
Hey,
what do you do? It sounds like Ghostbusters. It should have been on the Ghostbusters album or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I know. It's a horrible analogy because I do like that song.
Yeah.
But you see a quality drop off there,
Yep. Clank.
God damn, and that's to me like I saw it as obligatory, not from the fucking heart. So, but hey, teach your own.
Hey, Paul, we've got a movie called Spies Like Us. Do you think you could write a thing? Well, how much does it pay? $1 million. Well, let me just jot this down. I was gonna have pancakes, but instead we'll do this. That sort of thing. Anyway. So that leaves us with two more songs each.
Yes, sir.
What are you ending the night with?
Rat, Lay It Down. Rat would be my favorite band that I would consider an 80s band. You know, I think Van Halen, you know, of course, had a huge impact and really shaped the 80s. But to me, they're a 70s band that made it big in the 80s. But Rat, I'd take Rat over Motley Crue, over all that shit. You know, Rat, I believe, had the talent and had the songs. They just didn't have the pornos and the good looks of Motley Crue.
Right, right.
Because, I mean, I think Motley Crue is, I mean, Shout Out the Devil, one of the greatest fucking hard rock albums of all time. Fucking love it. Other than that, Lose My Fucking Number. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a lot of tripe. Rat, I think, had a lot of fucking talent, a lot of promise, but just couldn't keep it together. And, you know, proof that people vote with their eyes, you know, and what keeps people in, you know, the public persona. You know, there's no Rat sex tapes. You know, nobody Thank from God. Rat married a Baywatch babe. You know, Bobby Blotzer didn't have a roller coaster drum set. He just kept the beat, you know. But they did have Warren Martini. They did have Robin Crosby, Juan Croucier, and Stephen Piercy. And I think they put out incredible fucking albums that I would much rather hear than fucking goddamn fucking Girls, Girls, Girls and shit. Rat, I mean, just standout band. Invasion of Privacy, a great album. It followed up Out of the Cellar, which was a mega seller. You know, Invasion of Privacy didn't do as good, but I think it's just as solid. And, man, Lay It Down. It don't get dirtier or more raw than that. I dig it.
Great song. Great band.
Thank you. I appreciate you backing me up.
Don't really
they were a lot better than a lot of people gave them credit for. And, you know, we were talking about what makes a hair metal band, and really what we're learning is everything that was, basically anything that was in Rip magazine or Circus could have been hair metal, right? And it was whatever the record company wanted to push you as. Just put a little blush on and make your hair stand up big, and there you are.
Yeah.
But Rat always seemed like they got their wardrobe from the Mad Max set, the, you know, those movies, because it's always tore up stuff. Like, they were wearing rags, whereas, like, Cinderella had, like, a really cool uniform look almost.
Yeah, no, Rat had a cool look, but, I mean, the thing you can't deny is, like, Motley Crue were trendsetters. Like, whatever Motley Crue would do, the other bands would follow.
Yeah, whether that's go glam and then later become bikers and play the blues
that. I remember that because when I first really, really got into Motley Crue was Theater of Pain, and they were totally glam. And then I remember going and getting a copy of fucking Hit Parader, and now all of a sudden they're bikers. And I was like, I don't like this. I like the, you know, like the look like a referee, and he's got the, you know, the baseball eyeliner and shit, you know. And I remember seeing the biker shit. I didn't like it. And then they switched. But even though I think the music is very, like, you know, Spoon, Moon, and June and very bottom feeder kind of esque, every band would follow what Motley Crue did, looks wise. You know, because you saw that, you know, as soon as they came up with Girls, 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 then okay, now we're not going to dress like women. Now we're going to dress like we're bikers, you know, and then they switched up again. So they were trendsetters. I don't think musically, but image wise. And I think that's why Motley Crue is held in more self-esteem. But it's, to me, that's superficial shit. It's not musical.
Agreed.
You know, I think there's a lot of bands that were better musically, but because Motley Crue made shit hip, you know, what are you going to do?
Exactly. My last pick here is a band out of Baltimore, or if you're from there, Balmore. And it's Kix with Cold Blood. What do you think of Kix?
Ooh. Not a big fan, but I love that song.
I'm not a big fan of theirs either, and I hate to... I got a little story I'm going to tell you the truth. I was in a band called Mr. Monster, and we would open up for them at Hammerjack's there. We were like the third or fourth band always on a bill, right? And I looked ridiculous because I was trying to be a more glammed-out version of me, and we were called Mr. Monster, right?
Right.
And these guys were good. They were fun to hang out with. And I moved back to Ohio, and I'm working at a nursing home. And the radio comes on, and I go, I know that song. I know that song. And it was Cold Blood by Kix. And I was like, they did it. They actually made it, right? So that was a really cool thing. But then it made me angry that I didn't stick it out longer, right?
You know what you should have done? You should have dressed up like in a military outfit, and you could have been General Mills.
There you go. See, I blew it. Totally fucked that one up.
General Mills. And you would have got the, you know, the kids at breakfast, and, you know, you would have got to the teenagers, too, with your boyish good looks.
That's true. I do have those.
General Mills.
Yeah.
Could have made it.
So we're going to end this episode with Kix, Cold Blood. I don't know if you'd call these guys hair metal, but like I said, they were in Rip magazine, so what the fuck, right?
Yeah, again, though, I would call them more cock rock than hair metal, because I think they had chops, man. They had they were a blue-collar rock and roll band, man.
Yeah.
They weren't fucking Poison. These guys knew how to play rock and roll. Not my favorite band, you know what I mean? But, I mean, they came from the right place.
Yeah, and this song kicks ass. And like I said, a lot of these bands didn't really deserve to be lumped in with hair metal, even though they tried to, or the record company tried to get them there. But, like, you take a look at Rat, they have more in common with Aerosmith and the Stones than they do Poison for whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing against Poison. I'm not going to razz on Poison. They're good at what they do. They are what they are, right?
Yeah, they're like the Bay City Rollers of the 80s.
Nothing wrong with that. S-A-T-U-R.
D-A-Y. Night.
See, we know what the fuck that's all about. So thank you for spending today with us. It was fun hanging out with you, Ian. And this has been a special episode just for you, the donators and the people that we're going to see at the Nashville Rockin' Pod 2018.
That's right. If you would have chipped in more, you would have got a better episode.
That's true. That's true. All right. Well, this is probably the greatest podcast you'll listen to all day. Just make sure that this is the only one you listen to. So, all right. We will see you on the next episode of whatever we decide to do. And thanks to everybody who's also putting out the shows for the troops, our good friends out there who have donated, who are buying tickets. Thank you for being part of this with us. And it's great to know you're out there, right, Ian?
Yes, I will do Street Drugs with you August 25th in Nashville, Tennessee.
All right. I will drink a Diet Dr. Pepper.
Fuck that. I'm doing crank.
That's the hard stuff. That's the hard stuff.
Yeah. Not hard for me.
As a matter of fact, you take a little blue pill for that.
That's right.
All right. Better living through chemistry. All right. We will see you all. Thank you for donating. We will see you in Nashville. Ready to go?
Yes. Happy Father's Day, by the way.
Well, happy Father's Day to you, and happy Mother's Day.
Oh, thank you. I'll tell my mother.
Where's Happy Couples Day? There's no such holiday, those fuckers.
Yeah, well, much like Happy Couples.
Yeah.
Hard to find.
Yep.